As women, we are always taking care of everybody else. We are always filling up everyone else's cups, our spouses, the kids, even at work, just that people pleasing that women tend to do more than men. And it tends to lead to burnout, anxiety, shame, and guilt, and sometimes resentment within ourselves. And that is what leads to a lot of dis-ease. And I say that with a pause in between because it really is discomfort that's within the body that leads to the inflammation. It's usually a lot of mindfulness work, and the body is just working 10 times harder because you're not taking a break.
Welcome to the Society Gal podcast, where trailblazing female entrepreneurs and creatives come together to spark change and build their dreams. This is where your passion meets purpose, and together, we're crafting a future where everyone has the tools to succeed. Welcome to the Society Gal podcast. We are so excited to have Tanisha with us today to talk all about tapping into our inner child. And it is going to be a fun discussion. I'm so excited. So let's just start with how you got here and helping women in wellness and all about that, because it's an amazing story. So tell us how you got here.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you for having me. And yeah, my story actually started due to my mom. So around 2017, she actually got diagnosed with having diabetes. And at this time, she was on a lot of different medications. And I actually was 30 pounds overweight. And I'm a former college athlete. So I was used to being pretty small, but it was really about helping my mom and looking for health and wellness, holistic ways to help her, because she had actually went temporarily blind on the medications and nothing was really working. She just kept experiencing a lot of health challenges. And so it led me to go on a more natural mindfulness journey with her. So I started eating a lot more vegan meals, making a lot more vegan meals for both of us actually, and incorporating a lot of herbs. And thankfully, it actually helped, because about a year later, we went back to the doctor and she was deemed pre-diabetic. And that was, I'd say, one of the best days of my life, because it just showed how a lot of holistic ways can actually help us instead of living off of medications that are, one, expensive, and two, don't get to the root of the problem, which is what we're taught, that, well, we have to live with these diseases. So I was actually able to help my mom get off, and now she's living a way more vibrant life. And in addition, I lost the 30 pounds. So that was the first part of my wellness journey and her wellness journey.
Awesome. And I love how you made that, like, stepped up and made that change. That's really, I always get chills when you tell that part, because it's so amazing. And so how did you get to, you know, really, like, in your business of helping other women in wellness? And we're going to talk all about what you do and how you do that and spaces you hold for that. But how did you get to that place from your mother to, like, helping way more people with this?
Yeah, I always say that we are our own first client. So I experienced my own health journey as well, where around 2018, I actually passed out on a train, and it was due to drinking a lot. I was a big drinker back then, this 2017, 2018, actually right after my mom was healed pretty much. And I was like, well, I'm not sure what to do, because the hospital said that I had multiple sclerosis and that I should either take an epidural shot or take the medication for MS. And honestly, either decision didn't sound great. And all of my tests showed that I didn't have it. So they weren't really sure what to do. And from that moment, I just decided that I was going to reclaim my health and focus a lot more on herbs and also meditation, just getting more into myself. And that seemed to help me a lot more. And I actually diminished my drinking a lot. And that actually took me towards becoming more plant-based and vegan, which is a lot less of the processed foods and just eating more cleaner. So that helped me clear it up. And my acne ended up going away. My menstrual cycle started to diminish. It was just so many different things of just changing how I was eating and adding in the mindfulness that allowed me to see that shift in myself. And from there, I just decided that, like, I should start helping people, really. And I've been a personal trainer. I've been doing some coaching here and there. I've had products, making homemade air fresheners, doing a tea business. But the pandemic really shifted me towards that entrepreneurship and full-time coaching, because I'm from New York and I left New York, moved to Georgia, and it was kind of without a plan. I just decided, like, hey, my life is really toxic and crazy in New York. And sometimes you have to recognize that you need a change. And for me, being in Georgia, it's way more relaxed. It's more calming, more soothing. And that was the space that I was in mentally. And I know that that opened me up way more spiritually to get me onto my self-love journey, which we can definitely get into.
Yeah. How awesome to be aware to make that decision of a move. I mean, just in the space you live in, the environment makes such a big difference. And the people you surround yourself with. I love that difference that you made with New York and Georgia. The peace. So let's talk. Let's dig in. Let's just first start with, why do working women specifically need to pause and take care of themselves? Because we hear that a lot. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. But like, what is the real root reason why that is? And how can we better do that as women?
Yeah. And when you're a working woman, it's sometimes hard to find those pauses in your day, and therefore your health suffers.
Yeah. And when you do find the pause, you feel really guilty.
Right. Exactly. And it's, you know, unfortunately, society puts so much pressure on women to be perfect mm-hmm. and to show up. And I mean, we'll get into it, but I just like to say to women, like, show up in your mess. Like, it's okay to not have yourself all together.
Yeah. And we're going to kind of, you're going to say this a lot throughout because we talked about this before, but the small sustainable habits of building that up. And I think a lot of us think we need a big 3-day spa day, which I think we do sometimes every now and then. Like, I think what Tanisha does a really good job on, which we're going to just break down in a minute, is the small and simple things we can do right now to pause and reset and connect with yourself. So let's talk about kind of just a few things that you do to do this, and how a few things that you help people do to right now just have that dedicated time of rest.
Yeah. So like you said, small sustainable habits. So for me personally, I love going outside for 20 minutes. Before this interview, I was outside. I literally set my timer on just to take that pause for me. I'm a big nature person, and nature is healing. It allows us to get the oxygen from the trees. And sometimes when you just see a pretty bird, it lights you up inside, mm-hmm. you know, or just looking at the sun, looking at the sky, it just brings a certain joy within. And for me, movement is huge. So I go to the gym. I also love to journal because I believe that getting your thoughts out, because a lot of us, we live inside of our head, and I know me especially. So get in and out, writing things, or if you don't like to write, you can voice note. I do both personally, because it depends on where I am. And getting those thoughts, those feelings out, even just writing out your day can save you so much time of feeling anxious about what's going on in your world and your life and the things that you have to do. So those are some things that I like, and they're simple. Even such a thing of, I like to just look outside while I'm drinking a cup of tea that's soothing for me. I like to tell people to tap into their senses. So as I'm holding the cup, it feels warm to the touch. That feels comforting for me. I smell it. If it's something like lavender, that's naturally calming as an herb. And then as it goes down my throat, it feels very soothing. So those are little things that you can do for self-care instead of, oh, I gotta book the massage and get a facial. Those things are great, but it's not fully helping your mental state. And right now, if you're someone who is suffering from burnout or shame or guilt, you're having an imbalance inside of your body. And we need to get you back into your homeostasis. So the massages aren't going to do it. Like, as much as someone would love to, but they're not. You really have to start tackling your mindset and start doing things that can help shift you. So even someone who doesn't care for meditation, because I have clients say, well, I don't have 30 minutes. You don't have to do that. You can do 1 minute meditation, put on some sound bowl healing and listen to that. 5 minutes if you can. It's about the buildup. It's really not about trying to take these major leaps that I feel that women always want to do. Like, oh, I have to lose 30 pounds in 30 days. It's like, who put that pressure on you? Why? We don't have to. And it's not realistic with our wellness journeys. And for me, a wellness journey is mind, body, and soul. It's not just about what you're eating, what you're drinking, and if you're working out. Like, you have to do it all. And I love to show just women how you can have it all, but let's just take it in smaller steps.
I love how you broke that down in senses. Like, that is true mindfulness. And again, like, it's all, we always think it's these big things, but it's really just like, you know, what am I feeling on my hands, on my feet, the sun on my face? How does that make me feel right now? And just like connecting to our senses and body, because I think it's a disconnect. Where the burnout is where we're disconnected. Like, that's, we're all disconnected stage. Our nervous system is all crazy. We're just disconnected, going on autopilot. And it's like, okay, while we drink our coffee, like, all these little things you described are so amazing. Of just like, let me be intentional in this 1 minute with myself. And that builds up into an hour of mindfulness throughout the day, because some of us have, I have five kids. Like some of us have like our 8-hour day job, our five kids, our, you know, needy kittens. I don't know who we have, needy husband. I don't know. Yeah. And it just feels impossible to sit down. Like I know for me, for more than 10 minutes with that being quiet. And so I love how you said that 2-minute meditation, that, you know, warm tea, looking out the window for 5 minutes, like those little things are just so possible and it builds up. I love that. Like it builds up throughout the day. That's beautiful. I love that. And so we were kind of talking, you were leading into it, but let's talk about kind of a client that, her journey of what she wanted when she came to you and then what you took her through, because you talked about that before of like what we want. I want to lose 30 pounds. I want to do this, you know, really big, drastic changes that never happen. And you're going to kind of talk about why. So let's talk about one client you worked with that went through that journey with you and what that looked like.
Yeah. So literally I was thinking of her when I mentioned losing weight in a quick time. I had a client who was getting ready to be married and she wanted to feel better with inside her body. And we were realizing that she was having trouble with making certain meals. So she didn't want to become vegan, but she wanted to eat cleaner. And she wanted to also make meals for her soon to be husband. And I said, well, you know, you can do both. You can make a meal that is healthier, but it still fulfills both of you. And I asked her, well, have you ever asked them, like, do I have to make these two separate meals or do you just feel inclined to? And it was interesting because she paused. She said, well, he's not telling me to do this, but I feel that I need to. And I'm very big on self-discovery, as I've mentioned before, and journaling within my clients. So I just started asking more deep questions. And this is what I feel separates me from a lot more empowerment coaches, is that I'm trying to get to the root of why you're having resistance. And what it turned out was that she was so used to seeing her mom cater to her dad that she felt that she had to be that woman on her journey in her marriage. And that's where the disconnect is with women. I believe that it's amazing to have compromise. And yes, we want to, you know, when we're in love, we want to cater to our partners. But if you're not even asking the question, you don't know what your partner actually wants from you. You're just assuming. And it was a programming. And so we had to deprogram that. And now she is eating cleaner meals. Her husband loves them. He started joining the meal plan when we were working together. And then she ended up losing her weight, so much so that we spoke about intermittent fasting. And for anyone who doesn't know, it's just when you have a certain time of the day where you don't eat anything. So for example, I don't eat anything until about 11 a.m. after my night's sleep. And then I cut myself off around 6 p.m., 7 p.m. Then I do the same thing all over again. So at that time, she wasn't ready to do it. But then she messaged me about 2 months later when we were done and saying, you know, now I'm ready because I've worked through these blocks that I helped her overcome within her journey. So she's losing the weight. She's eating cleaner. She's not putting so much of a strain on her body. And that's what I call reclaiming your health, because she felt empowered through these questions to explore. And sometimes that's what the client needs. It's not always about the food changes, although it's huge. Sometimes it's just about rewiring your programming.
I love when you share this story because a lot of us, yeah, again, are like, I want to lose weight. I want to do this. And we don't know how to get there. And I think we often think it's this magical serum, this magical workout, this magical, you know, something magical fix that's going to get us there. But I love how your client came to you and she, you're talking about how she wanted to just like cut out this and cut out that. Like you weren't like, here's some herbs and here's some like, let me just throw stuff at you on what you can just consume. But instead you took what she was already doing, eating, and making it enjoyable and making it not in a way like I'm going to serve my guts out where I have nothing left for myself. But why are you doing what you're doing? And then, you know, let's make it work for you. So I love that when you talk about exploring and discovery, it's like, what is going to work for you is just like, what's going to bring her power through that, which I love, like just how powerful it is with just something so simple as eating, you know?
Yeah, it's that. And that's what I love. I'm about really being simple with the women that I'm working with, because I know that they're experiencing so much. So I don't want to add to that. As a coach, you should be making someone's life more simpler. And if you're already experiencing burnout, and I've experienced it for myself, it is tough. So you need someone who's going to provide you with that grace and that safe space. I call it a sacred space of what I hold for women. And sometimes you just need to let it out and then I can make my little tweaks, you know, once we get there. But sometimes that takes a little bit longer. Your wellness journey is not a quick fix. It's not instant gratification. And that's the biggest message that I try to get out to people. Don't do this for in 3 weeks. Like this is a lifestyle.
A lifestyle change. I love that. And you're a coach, but even, you know, we're all coaches for ourselves too. So like when you're listening to this, just like, you know, what she's telling her people, to what she's telling you, just like tell yourself that, you know, this lifestyle change and this shift. And I love how you said you're not adding, we don't need to add things. We just need to change what we're doing to make it more enjoyable, to make it more fulfilling and more, give us more power, which just makes it like a relief. Which is just before we go into like the inner child funness, let's just finish off with this part of just like the big benefits you see within yourself, within women you work with, of like shifting their lifestyle to this, to be more mindful, to taking more pauses in their life.
Yeah. So I'll start first with my own journey. It was definitely a calmer nervous system. I tend to be very anxious. Like I can be up and down. And sometimes it's hard getting grounded, especially when you're building a business. And so calming my nervous system to take more aligned action and just weather the challenges, those storms that came within my life and my business. I felt that overcoming the burnout, it made me more adaptable, more flexible to changes that were happening. And also knowing that those pauses are so important and that helps me reset. So that's definitely for me, one of the biggest benefits of when you overcome burnout is that your nervous system is regulated. And that's where the inflammation, those imbalances come out from the most. Also feeling cleaner in your mind, body, and soul. When you eat better, you feel better, you look better, everything is just more aligned, you're a happier soul. And that empowerment piece, right? So power over your life, instead of it taking over you and owning you. You want to be in control of your life, but we want to do it in a very light and gentle way. And the biggest, I'd say the second biggest thing is probably peace within. So there's the saying, right? Like money can't buy happiness, and it really can't. It adds to certain things that we can do, but when you feel peace, when you're not burnt out, when you're not experiencing shame, guilt, and anxiety, that is the biggest currency of waking up every day and like, oh, well, something happened at work today, but it doesn't really bother me because I'm detached, because I know within me that I feel good. And that is the biggest thing that I think any woman can have. And that is really the empowerment and reclaiming your health when you're not experiencing these symptoms of stress.
Yeah. One of my favorite things you said was peace within. I mean, yeah, like that waking up and being like, oh yeah, you know, my life's great. Like no matter what's happening, and I can take charge of my life. And and kind of like the power, you know, you have power over your life, but in a gentle way. Like you can do it in a gentle way, which I love that, because I feel like we often feel like we have to put a lot of like masculine energy to our life. Like I'm a boss babe and I gotta go get, and I gotta like work 50 hours to make this happen. But we're women. And I think as women, we have very great differences as far as like our spiritual connection and all those things. We have our own strengths and our own, you know, biology that's just so different. And so we have to treat how we take care of ourselves differently than, you know, other people that may need more masculine energy to do that. But I love how you said power over your life, but with gentleness. And I think we definitely need that as a woman to be a lot more gentle with ourselves, because we're so hard. We think we have to work our butts off to get to where we want to be, but we can be where we want to be now.
Hey, this is Dana from Society Gal, and I wanted to take a quick break to tell you about the Society Gal Academy, the exclusive membership that helps entrepreneurs like you launch, grow, and scale your business. Join weekly expert-led workshops, access to on-demand courses, and connect with a supportive network of go-getters just like you. Are you ready to elevate your business? Visit Society Gal Academy today.
Right. I say, on my first example, I struggle a lot with grace, you know, just giving myself that love and compassion for when things don't go my way. And I love what you said, like women are different. I always say we run on a 28-day cycle. Men run on 24 hours. You can't compete, but we're taught to, and especially in a corporate setting. And I feel that when you're transforming into an entrepreneur, you take that mindset. I know I did.
Yes, and I agree.
And it didn't work. More currency has come when I rest. Like rest is restorative. And there's actually a beautiful book that's called Rest is Resistance. And it explains about taking naps, like the power in that. And that's where we get to be creative and like live in that imagination world and give our bodies the time that it needs. So I would also say, just as a side note, like as a woman, you know, if you're tracking your cycle, don't do your heavy meetings then, or don't do your most stressful things where, you know, you got to take the kids somewhere. That's probably not the best time, because your energy is already low. And there's herbs like raspberry leaf and damiana that can help support you during those times. but just be more diligent, because men, you know, every 24 hours is a reset. But for us, the days build up. So that's just another thing I would note in there.
It's just it. I mean, and also just as women, like we have those, you know, hormonal cycles. Also, we feel differently. Like we feel, I would say, so much very deeply about every single thing and everything person around us, because our natural nurturing tendency of wanting to serve other people and you know, others and not ourselves. And so, yeah, I just love that, like that gentleness, that more slowness that we all need to bring peace to ourselves. Yeah, I love that. Okay. Peace within, power over our own life. Like we do have that power, and it can be really simple. So let's talk about a really, really fun way to do this, because we were both talking about this and how like, oh, we just love this about mindfulness practices, which is tapping into our inner child. We forget often to be, to go back to that. And we get so adultish and it's so boring. And so let's talk about why we need to tap into our inner child and how we can do that, and why all of us women should be doing it daily, all the time, as much as we can.
Yeah, no, I love this part. So for me, it's definitely showing little you that you deserve that love. So think about when we were all 6, 7, life was pretty good for the most part, right? Like we didn't have the responsibilities and you got to do whatever you wanted in retrospect, right? So the games, the being around your friends, being outside, running around, like you deserve that still now as an adult. And it might not look the same. Like maybe you're not playing rugby or, you know, playing basketball, but what do you like to do for fun? For me, it's being active, as I mentioned before. And there's healing in that, because there's so much trauma that some of us may are aware of, and some of us maybe we've blocked out that happened as well as a kid. But when you tap into your passions, it allows you to have that joy instead of that resentment and that sadness and that grief. And I do feel that when we bring more joy and more happiness into our lives, it allows us to weather the storms a lot easier, because there's fun and the happiness is everything, right? Because if you're walking around with, you know, clouds over your head all the time, you're naturally going to be more susceptible to feeling anxious and depressed. But when you're doing something, let's say if you love to paint and you do that once a week, that will have such an impact on your endorphins, on your immune system, on your mental health. So tapping into your inner child, honestly, I feel is essential for anyone's wellness journey, and figuring out what your passions are, or re-remembering. Honestly, it's more of a re-remembering of who you were and how to get back to her if she was lost.
Yeah. And how powerful that is to really do that. I mean, tapping into dancing or poetry or writing. And the more I've gotten into the mindfulness world, is so many of the strategies have to do with dancing and drawing, and like these creative outlets, which I'm sure you're going to talk about a little bit more on how we can do that. But I at first I was like, really, like, why are we doing this? You know, like, why are we drawing pictures and why are we dancing around this room? You know, like, man, like, it really just lets you let go. I feel like the world we grow up as we get older, even a teenager, you have to look like this or you're going to get made fun of. Or you have to be this way, or you have to. And so we just consistently conform to society of who we should be. And therefore, we're an adult now and we have to act this way. Right. Our parents tell us you have to act this way. And just the freedom of just like letting it all go and looking crazy, doing a dance or drawing something, even though you know you're not good at it. You know, like all those things are just so like, I can be who I want to be. And it doesn't have to look like anything. Like, it doesn't have to look like anything compared to a standard of something that someone set for me, which I think is just, man, that's so freeing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I love what you said. Most of the time when we think our drawings suck or, you know, right, like we're not good at something, it's because someone put that inside of our minds, right?
Yeah.
Therefore, maybe that's the reason that you don't do it. So for me, I actually believe that I can't draw, because that's what I was told as a child, right?
Like, talking about that, like other call, like, wait a second.
Right. Like it wasn't my thing. But it's interesting now that I actually do a mindfulness practice maybe once a month. It's not that often, because coloring isn't my favorite way to tap into my inner child, but it helps me quiet my mind. So for my practice, it's putting on some jazz music and taking out the coloring book, and I'm just coloring it within for maybe 30 minutes or however long I feel. But the reason why I do it is because I love poetry. And coloring has opened me up to start writing again. And I the last time I think I wrote was probably like high school. And that was something that I really enjoyed. But what I was told as a child was that, you know, being a poet won't make you money. So that was the story that I had inside my head. And I'm like, oh, okay. So then I just kind of pushed it to the side, and you know, my athleticism, it was always there. So you focused on that. But I really loved English. I loved Broadway. I loved poetry, loved Shakespeare. And so now I've had to come back to those things, but something else had to open me up. And actually sports has done that too. I played basketball as a kid, but having certain injuries, I stopped and I fell out of love with it. But last year I was reading a book. I'm very big on reading just to like free your mind as well. And there was a book that I was reading that was talking about being in your zone of genius and doing a sport, not to be good or try to be this big competitor, but just to do it for fun. I was like, okay, let me see. Like, let me try going back to the courts. And I remember the first day I did it, I stopped while I was done playing, and a poem came to me. And I was like, what just happened? You know? And so it's so interesting how your inner child can be tapped in into unexpected ways. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, I can tell you the tips. I can say you can draw, you can paint, you can dance. But sometimes it's really beautiful when it just hits you out of nowhere and you re-remember what you love to do. Because the body knows, right? Like our soul knows what it wants, mm-hmm. but we have to free our minds up to allow mm-hmm. things to come in. And that's what happened with me. And I it was so beautiful as to how it happened. And I wasn't forcing it. And it happened a couple of times when I would finish playing basketball. I would just sit. I'm like, oh, wow, like it's coming. And it was interesting to see how that could happen. So just to bring it all the way full circle, I would just, you know, ask the listeners, like, do what you enjoy. What is it that made you happy as a kid? Was it reading a picture book? Was it journaling? Was it painting a canvas? You know, and figure those things out and then reconnect with those childhood activities. And it will make your life so much better. Like, I promise you, it's healing in a little bit of a lighter way, as opposed to all the somatic work and the shadow work, which is very important. I do it all. But this is a way that you can tap into. There's the last thing I'll say is that one thing I did, instead of forgiveness letters, which I write a lot of and usually burn it after, right, to forget it, I wrote a thank you letter recently to myself. And that was so empowering. Just thank you for showing up. Thank you for moving. Thank you for being the business owner. Thank you for even wanting to tap into your inner child. And it was just a better way of being kinder, more grace to myself. And I was like, this is what I want other women to feel. I'm constantly doing work on myself, and I've done a lot of dark work, but it doesn't always have to be like that. Yeah. We can balance out our lightness and our darkness. And I don't hear a lot of people talking about that, which is why I feel that spirit has brought me down this path. So I can show both sides.
Yeah, to show the inner child work. I remember when I was new to like the mindfulness world and I heard inner child, I'm like, what the heck does that mean? Like, what? That's so weird. But it's such a simple concept when you explain it. But I loved, as we were talking about this, that yes, there is the shadow and the hard work, and you will have to do that. But I think this is such a great introduction into really discovering yourself, that you can get into that work later. But like, this work is just such a great, like, welcoming, you know, a welcoming way and strategy to get into rediscovering yourself and opening yourself up and freeing your mind. I mean, just so many examples you gave of just having that silence and peace and rest that allows your mind to go where it wants to go. Like, it really does want to go. Like, it actually is putting your needs first. Cause I just imagine like our brains just piled with, you know, like 20 things above what we really want in our life, because we have to do it because we're obligated to do it, especially as women who may not just have a job, but kids, or may have someone they're taking care of, or so many different things that are piled on our plates. Always going back to that burnout. But I just love those examples of, I mean, I go to yoga. Those are like one of my favorite times where I'm just like so much inspiration and thoughts. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is great. And I loved how you said gratitude, because I mean, prayer, meditation, whatever you want to call it, I've been doing a lot more often at the gym, of just like feeling my body, like my, or in the shower, like, thank you for my arms. Thank you for my wrists. Like, thank you for my hands that do this. Thank you for my legs. Like, just touching every part and being mindful of every part that I'm just so thankful that what it does for me. Like, just the exercise in the shower is just like, oh, I feel so refreshed, so great and so amazing. And so I just love this joyful, like light work we could do that just brings us so much. And I would like you to talk about, Like, how do you do this daily? Because there's are bigger things we could do, but what are some like daily things that we can kind of add in our inner child play, I guess I would say.
Yeah. So I have definitely touched on some of them, like going outside and putting your feet in the grass, like as kids.
That's a really good feeling, actually.
Yeah. Grounding is beautiful. It's so beautiful. And it's something freeing that you see kids do all the time. And sometimes as adults, we're like, oh, I'm like, I don't want to do that, you know, but it's so much. I mean, you're connecting to Mother Earth, right? So that's healing in itself. But doing that and like looking up at the sky, and I used to just love looking at the clouds and, you know, seeing like, oh, I think like it's changing to become this, like using your imagination again is so nice and such a simple way to tap into that inner child healing. But you mentioned yoga, so movement, definitely. I love to dance in the house. Like no one's
I love dancing in my kitchen too. So that's what we do. We dance in the kitchen. That's like the best thing ever.
Yeah. And same actually. I do it both in the living room and the kitchen, because I believe like when you're making a meal, that too is tapping into your inner child. Like think about if you ever cooked with your parents or the first time that you learned how to cook and play your favorite music. I believe that music is so healing. Mm-hmm. So when you combine the two, like you're nourishing your mind, you're nourishing your body and your soul at the same time, it's a win-win. And you're getting a great meal. Like you can't beat that. And it's something about that. I want to say it's empowering, yes, but it's just a nourishing feeling. Like I did for myself, I took the time, even if it's a 30-minute dance party, it's just such a beautiful practice that you can do for yourself. And it's free. No, we don't always have to go to the circles. Although I'm very big on community, like you can create your sacred space at your house. Talking on sacred spaces, one thing I love to do is I pick one day out the week. So for me, it's Sunday. And everyone knows, like, it's my sacred spiritual day, usually from the time I wake up till about 12 p.m. So you don't always need the whole day to, you know, just escape from the world and just tap into little you. And from that time, it could be dancing, it could be reading, it could be playing chess, because I also enjoy that. Or, you know, going onto the computer and finding a game or listening to a podcast. Like, as kids, we love to also learn things, but it's just the way as to which you like to learn as well. So those are, to me, little, real small things. And, you know, we touched on painting as well. You can do that. You can go to the dollar store and get a coloring book. Like doesn't have to be that crazy. And photography, if you're into that. But I think one of the coolest things that I recently started doing this, and I thought it was crazy when I first saw it, but a laughing meditation, like literally just like laugh for it sounds crazy, but like laugh for like 1 to 2 minutes. You can't be mad and laugh at the same time. You just can't hold both emotions. So I was like, oh, this is so good. And I'm constantly, you know, trying new things for my inner child. And you think about it, when you see 6, 7, 8-year-olds, like they're constantly laughing, they're constantly being silly. Like it's okay to be silly no matter what age you are. And that's the beautiful part about just tapping into that inner child. I know I went off on like a tangent, but
I love it.
It's just so, it can be really simple. It can be really easy. And it's just so healing when you try these different modalities and you just figure out what works best for you and what you enjoy.
Yeah. And I just want to point out, when we talk about this nourishing, there are things that you do that you might enjoy, like scrolling and watching. You know, there are things that your brain's like, yeah, this is great. Keep scrolling, keep shopping on my phone. But I think there's a really big difference between that and like the nourishment from dancing, from journaling, from meditation. That's more self, because you look online, you're looking shopping, you're thinking of like, you know, other people or seeing other people or putting yourself in other people's world. You were talking about circles. Like we even feel like, oh, someone else, going to someone else, leaning on somebody else, which sometimes we'll need and is a great environment to be in. But I think we really just need to take accountability with ourselves more than anything, and like have that space without like the noise of a phone and a computer and shopping and scrolling and seeing other people's lives. There's a big difference with what we put in there. You know, I feel like we got to have that balance.
Yeah. And so I agree. Definitely agree. You need both.
Before we end on kind of my last question, I usually like to ask, I would love for you to talk about how you do this in a group space, because we both, I mean, I ran a retreat and, you know, that had a lot of inner child funness, but I want to hear, and that's where we had a lot of fun talking about this, but I want to hear about like you host these retreats, which are amazing. And what do you do in them, and what does it look like, and how does it feel, and what's happening?
Yeah. So there's so many different ways. So one, I'll say it's a playground, and I intentionally call it that because I, I don't want you to think about work or even the burnout. What I say that I help women with, I want you to know, like, oh, playground, like what is this, right? Like, what type of fun are we going to be doing? And for me, I love to do this work with others in community because we learn from each other. Every woman has a story. And I'm here holding a sacred space, yes. And I'm the person who's creating these experiences, but everyone is a teacher. Like, we are our own teachers. And when we bring women together, I get to learn from you, you get to learn from me. And that's healing too. And it's also creating a sisterhood. And that's what I love the most. I don't know if anyone's ever saw the sitcom Girlfriends or Living Single back in the day, but it's that type of vibe that I like to bring where we're laughing, we're joking, we're dancing, we're crying. Maybe it's happy tears, but it's in a very loving, light way with no judgment, no shame, no guilt. Like, show up as who you are, be authentically you. And that's how I pour into women first when they first come into the playground event with me. And then from there, I love to open up people's senses. So I do essential oil class with them. And sometimes I'll have them close their eyes and I'll just literally like pass the oil around, whichever oils I feel that are like needed for that time. And then after that, like have them open their eyes and journal about what did they feel? Like what came up for them. And it's interesting because sometimes it could connect them back to something that happened in childhood or a smell that maybe was around them as a kid. You never know what's going to come up in the circles. And I love it for that reason. And something that we touched on was dancing. So I actually bring that into the retreat space as well. So we have dance parties and the open mics where you can do basically it's a talent show. So whatever your talent is, whatever you like to do, like this is your time to embody what I love to say is like the spiritual baddie. You tap into her, that confidence, that love, like you want to dance, you want to twerk, you do whatever it is, but just be you. And you have this space to do that. And of course we have nourishing food. So there's plant-based food that I also make sure it's provided for these women, but it's really about resting. So there's downtime as well. I don't want people to come thinking about their job or like, oh, what I have to do. Like, no, we're going to be in nature. We're going to take nature walks and you're going to have silent time because you don't have that on your regular day to day. And so I want to provide that for you. I want you to go off for about an hour and just be, and it might be uncomfortable. And we can talk about that when we all come back together. Right. But that bond of helping people break through that is so nourishing to me, and being able to give back to these women. It's just, I'm grateful to that I've been chosen to do this type of work for this inner child and just see how life-changing it can be to when you focus on fun.
Yeah, I love those spaces. And I think there's so much we can discover in a space like that in a few days that we can bring into our daily life. Once we experience it, we're like, okay, I can now confidently bring that in. Once we experience other people and what they're experiencing and understand, okay, if they can do it, I can do it too. Like that, there's so much power in community. So I love that you hold those spaces, those retreat spaces. How beautiful and how amazing. I think everyone needs to attend a retreat like that, that has that play and has that community aspect of other women together. So amazing. So we're going to go into the last question of just your biggest learning lesson or one of your biggest learning lessons you've had within your business. That you'd like to share?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's been a lot of pivots, but I think for this one, just for transparency and talk about being vulnerable and that shame, for me, it was probably September 2022 when I had my first vegan coaching program. And I was promoting really hard on social media. I think as business owners, when you create an offer, it's basically creating a child. Like It is your baby and you put your all into it and you're showing up. Every day I'm doing the lives and posting and doing sales calls and people were really interested. But when it came time for people to actually get into the program, no one got in. And this is my first time of being this full-time entrepreneur. I'm not working. I was so distraught, so distraught. And it really shot my confidence. You know, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what I should be doing for my business and how to bounce back. And I remember in October, I just pretty much like came up with a free water and workout challenge. It actually came in a moment of being still while I was in the sauna because I started meditating in the sauna life was just so crazy and I needed something to just help me. And I'm detoxifying at the same time, right, with the sauna. And I was like, okay, let me try this out. And what I realized with what I didn't do with the first program was I didn't build the community that I'm talking about right now. Mm-hmm. But what it taught me was that that was essential. What I was doing was selling. I was selling the program. I was selling a result. And that's great, right? And I also don't think it was full alignment with the person who's today, who's speaking in front of you. Like now I'm an empowerment coach instead of a vegan coach. And I had to go through that. I had to go through like, okay, well, let me do a free challenge and let me get some testimonials. And then when I went into 2023, I was really clear that I had to do collaborations and build community. I had to do networking calls. People had to get to know me, mm-hmm. right? That no trust like factor. And that's what felt more nourishing. Like weekly I was doing networking calls and that helped up build, you know, the email list naturally in a more organic way. And I was still posting, I was still giving educating content. And then now we fast forward to 2024 and I can see now that, well, that had to happen. If it didn't, I don't know if I got like five people, I probably would have been still doing the same thing, right? Like, okay, vegan coaching is it for me. But because my soul got broken down and I had the shame and I had the guilt and for a moment I wanted to quit, but I learned a lot of times in business is the art of the pivot or the art of bounce back where you get down and I cried it out and I still didn't know what I was going to do, but it came to me in 2023, like to be this empowerment coach because people were pouring into me. Like I called in for a support system. I called in for sisters who would want to uplift me and they saw my zone of genius, which was this accountability coaching, making them feel good about their business. And I'm like, I don't know if this should be my title. But then when I stepped into it, it's like, no, this actually feels really good. And then I did my retreat in September and I was like, I want to do this on a bigger scale now. Because this has nourished my soul so much and helped me overcome things. Being able to call a business friend or being able to see them and have a VIP day with them for a retreat. And so it taught me. So that it wasn't actually a failure. It was really just a learning curve for me. And it's allowed me now to have a tribe. Really, the women who I work with, they're a part of my tribe, or I usually say like we're family at this point. So it's a blessing in disguise because I couldn't see it at the time. And now it makes sense because now I have testimonials and now I can show people like, hey, this is what it's like having an experience with me. It was the buildup.
Yeah. Yeah. I love you how you said the power of the pivot. Entrepreneurship. There we go. That's what it is. Got you here today in an amazing place. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on here, Tanisha, and sharing your great knowledge on how we can pause and reset and lean into our inner child. I think there's so much we can take from this today to just feel so much more joy in our life. I'm so excited for everyone to really, really take this into their daily life because there's so much amazing, amazing things. So tell us how everyone can connect with you and go to one of your retreats. How can we all connect with you and where can we find you?
Yeah, definitely. So my website for sure is www.mswellnessllc.com and pretty much on all platforms, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram is plant-based vibes. So it's plantbasevibes. And for the next retreat, it is October 14th to the 17th. It's going to be in Douglasville, Georgia, Cosmic Playground. I'm really excited about this one. So if anyone is interested, just feel free to reach out, DM me, and I can give you the information. And
I love that name.
Thank you.
On the playground. That's awesome.
Yeah, where it's, the taglines, we unleashing your inner goddess. So I just want to be in community and have some fun and just be around amazing people. It's going to be 9 aligned souls. So yeah, I'd love for anyone who's interested to reach out.
All right. Thank you so much, Tanisha.
Thank you for having me.